When we look at life just with our own eyes, we become fearful, pessimistic, and negative. We become people who feel, I don't know if that'll work. I don't know if I can get through this. But when we look at the scriptures and we begin to see how God empowered normal, average people like you and I, it strengthens us. And the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and he strengthens us and he gives us courage that we didn't know we had. Now, remember I said that God understands this tendency in us women to be afraid or to have fear and panic? So the Holy Spirit had Peter write something directed to us. And we're going to begin in 1 Peter 3, verse 5. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. So if you look at those verses, you see that these women had some choices. Number one, they put their hope in God. That's a choice. The second thing, it says, you are her daughters if you do what is right. That is another choice, to do what is right. And the third thing is do not give way to fear. Now, that does not mean to never get afraid, but it does mean not being terrified by any terror that we face. Okay, so not panicking in that way, not giving into hysterics, not to be literally terrified by any terror. And then if we're not panicking and not in hysterics, we actually can make that choice to trust in the faithfulness of God rather than the fickleness of ourselves or of those around us. We do have an ever-faithful God, ladies. That's not imaginary. Sarah just represents many of those Old Testament women that lived in those days, years ago, who put their hope in God and found him worthy of their trust. So maybe these Old Testament women lived years ago, but they were real women just like we are. And their stories are snippets of their biographies preserved in the scripture so that we can get to know them, but we can also get to know their God that they learned to trust so that we can also trust him because his character never changes. He's as faithful now in our everyday situations and circumstances as he was to them. And we can feel confidence that he is actively working in our lives. As we see him actively working in their lives, sometimes they couldn't see it. Sometimes we can't see it. But we just have to trust in him, especially when we are afraid. Tonight we're looking at a single woman, and she made a choice to turn to God while everyone else was in a panic, and her name was Rahab. So turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua is like book number 6. In the Bible. So you go back to the beginning and you count 6. Now while you're doing that, I'm going to read you some verses to set up our story. The Israelites had come out of Egypt and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Okay, they're at the end of that 40-year time. They're about to go into the promised land. And this is what God tells Moses to tell the people. He says, see, I have given into your hands Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon and his country. This very day I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. You were shown these things so that you may know that the Lord is God. Beside him is no other. Okay, so here we see God's plan. He's going to use fear as an advantage to get the attention of some people. So go to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. And let's see what happens. Okay, so Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies out. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Yes, she was a prostitute. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. And so at dusk, she said that they left the city. We're going to skip verse 5 and go to 6. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. Jericho was famous for its linen, and it grew flax. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road. In the meantime, verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Okay, what was the state of morale in Jericho? They were scared. And was this going according to God's plan? Yes, it was. I love that phrase, melted in fear. Isn't that a great word picture? Have you ever felt like your heart kind of melted when you had a sudden terror, sudden thing scared you? Your heart kind of gets this fluttery feeling. It does feel like you're melting. Melting in fear. I think it's a great word picture. Okay, so what conclusion did Rahab make about the God of Israel? Notice in verse 11, what does she say? For the Lord your God is what?
God.
Is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Okay, that's exactly what God wanted them to know. Could anyone else have come to that conclusion? Could they? Yes or no? Yes. They had the same information, didn't they? They heard the same news. I mean, they not only the news said, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. So not only they had heard about this great army coming up, they had heard the news that, hey, he's given this land that we call our own. He's given them to you. So most of them stayed in their fear. But Rahab responded in faith to the revelation given. Now let's continue on. Verse 12. Now, then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. The spies answered, our lives for your lives. If you don't tell what we're doing, we'll treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house, if anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Okay, so here is Rahab. There we go. Okay. She's a businesswoman. She's a prostitute. She's gutsy. She's quick thinking. She's resourceful. She shows kindness. She's very proactive, not only for herself, but for her entire extended family. Do you know some women like that? Not the prostitute part. But you might. I mean, you might. Okay. Do you know some women like that, that are that gutsy and quick-thinking and proactive and kind like that? You know, you probably do. She was given an opportunity to make a conscious choice for God based upon the very few facts that she knew about him. She didn't know very much, but she made that choice. She responded with faith, and faith resulted in action. So, what did she do that day? Well, she transferred her allegiance from the king of Jericho to the Israelites and God. She asked for kindness while also showing kindness, because she hid those spies. She also lied about it. She assisted the spies escape. She agreed to the terms of the covenant. You know, I bet she tied that scarlet cord right away in the window. You know, and I think she moved in her family with her right away. If they weren't already with her, I bet she moved them all in, at least within 3 days, because she had told the spies to go hide for 3 days. So she figured she might have 3 days to get them all in and all the things that it takes to feed a huge family for a long time. You know, what risk was she taking? She could have been found out by the king and punished. She could have been branded a traitor. What if her family ridiculed her and refused to come in? She could have been forgotten by the spies when they attacked. And do you remember what God's plan for Jericho was? What was it? How many days? 7 days. One time a day for 7 days, and then on the seventh day, seven times, and then the shouting. But she didn't know that plan, you know? So she had those 7 days, plus she had a few days before that. If you look at it and you kind of add it up, she probably had 14 days from the time the spies left to the time that she was rescued. Okay. It reminds me of the time when we had hurricanes. I was in South Louisiana. That's where I grew up. My home was about 30 miles inland from the coast, but a lot of our relatives were along the coast. So every time a hurricane came, they would all come to our house. And my mom had to feed all of these people during the storm, and of course the electricity goes out, and then 2 or 3 days afterwards, because they couldn't go back right away, so we had all these people, she had to feed them. And I remember she had to go outside in the barbecue house out back, because that was the only gas stove that she had. So she had to go through all of the debris, all of the water, everything to get there to make pancakes and what else. We used to eat a lot of potted meat and crackers during those storms. I remember that much. So I have a feeling, I have an understanding of what it might have been like for her to have all of these people in her house to keep them there and to feed them and to keep them calm and, you know, it was keep them focused on what was going to take place. You know, so I have a higher respect for her as a woman to have to do that, if you think about it. Now, knowing Rahab as a woman, what might have been her emotion during this time of waiting? I think worry would have been one of them. You know, worry like, will that red card fall out of the window? I bet she was going and checking it all the time. You know, did somebody take it? Did it fall out? You know, can they see it? Is it big enough? Worry that she would be forgotten. Do you worry that God may forget you or may have forgotten you? Sure. I think a lot of us get that when it's been a long time. We've been praying for the same thing. It's like, okay, God, how long has it been? Have you forgotten me? So worry is one of the things. I think impatience, too. Because she didn't know the plan. Can you imagine? She sees the Israelites coming, and they march around the city one time, and they leave. And she's going, what? She didn't know what the plan is. And she has to do that for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they do 7 times, and then they shout. and the walls start falling down. You know, she was not privy to God's plan. She was probably thinking every day, is today the day? Is today the day? Do you ever get impatient for God to work? I certainly do. Is today the day? I hope it is. I'm tired of waiting. You know, someone once said that responsibility is my response to God's ability. Well, Rahab responded to God's ability. Now she had to wait for God's action. So flip over to Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to read in verse 22. We know the story. They marched around and the walls did fall down. In 22, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. That's where any Gentiles, any non-Jews would have to live, was outside the camp of Israel. Okay, so then they burned the city and all that stuff. Move on down to verse 25. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. All right, so let's see what happens. Joshua's name means salvation. So Rahab experienced salvation, deliverance through his hands. Okay, so God had Joshua remember her and her family. I think that was something God wanted to make sure that was taken care of. They were found, they were brought out safely. Her part of the wall did not collapse. In fact, archaeology, I know you cannot see this picture really well, but they have seen in archaeology of Jericho that the walls everywhere else except for a part of the north wall collapsed when Jericho was destroyed at that time. Maybe that's where her house was. They did have houses that were right next to the wall. They found that through archaeology. It, once again, shows that the Bible is accurate. But maybe that's where her house was. She was given a place among the Israelites as a recognizable person. It says that she lives among us today. Because she acted in faith rather than melting in fear. And then she married. She produced a son who was King David's great-grandfather. So she is in the lineage of Christ. What an honor. Rahab had to wait patiently for God to act. She did not know his plan. And we must also wait for God's perfect timing in answer to our prayers as well. Now, is this a problem for you? Is this not a problem for anyone? What have you found the secret? Because waiting is hard when you don't know the plan. And I found this song several years ago. I heard it on the radio as I was getting dressed in the morning, and it went, oh my, this is perfect for this story. And it's by Shannon Wexelberg. I don't know if she wrote it, but she sang it. You are in the waiting in that moment of my life when my faith and hope collide. My heart's anticipating just how and when you'll move. Oh, that's when you prove you are in the waiting too. See, God is in the waiting too. He could solve whatever that is now. But he has a plan, and according to his plan, it may not be now. So he's waiting along with you in that process. He is in the waiting too. And that gives me comfort to know that he's waiting with me. He understands my whole impatience, my worry. He understands why I wonder, when are you going to work? But he asked me to trust him. And through following Jesus for many years, I know that our God will not rescue me from everything that is threatening me or my family. But in every situation, I can count on four truths to sustain me in my faith walk. That's part of that walk from fear to faith. We know God loved Rahab. He knew what was going on in her life. He could do something about it. But he did not keep Rahab from losing the security of her home. He didn't keep Rahab from having to watch those 7 days as they were marching around the city because she didn't know the plan. And when she stepped out in faith to a God she knew very little about, he met her right there where she was. She trusted him to rescue her, and he responded because of what was in her heart. He knew her on the inside, the inward woman, the one not fighting against God, but choosing to be with him. He didn't respond to her based upon her lifestyle. That was the outward appearance. And he not only saved her life, but he actually forgave her past, and he gave her a brand new future with a new family, a new country, new place to live, a new people. And she chose to trust him rather than melting in fear. That is what dependent living is all about. Fear says, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. And faith says, God can through me. Fear says, I can't, I can't. Faith says, God can in me. Fear says, I don't know how I can do this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, I don't know. And faith says, God does for me and through me. We have a big God. He's capable of doing anything on our behalf. But he may not choose to rescue you from everything that is threatening you. And you may face what seem like insurmountable circumstances in your life. You may be waiting for God to answer a desperate prayer. But in any and all situations, you can count on our four truths. So let's say them together. God loves me. God knows what's going on in my life. God can do something about it. I can trust his goodness in whatever he chooses to do. So, is there a problem in your life right now where you must make a choice to do what is right, but the possible consequences fill you with fear? Are you willing to trust God and live by faith in this area? And as we read in 1 Peter 3:6 earlier, do what is right and do not give way to fear. You know, and when I do that, God fills my heart with joy. And every time I feel gripped by fear, that pit in my stomach, the pounding in my chest, the rush of those thoughts, I have to stop and I have to literally review those four truths and make that choice to trust him again and again and again. I have to let him replace my fear with the joy that I am his and he loves me and I can trust his goodness. And you can do that too. Father God, I thank you that you are a trustworthy God. Thank you that you love us, that we can count on you loving us. I thank you that you are strong enough to do anything that needs to be done. I thank you that you are with us always. Help us to learn to trust you in whatever you choose to do to be good to us. Teach us how to walk from fear to faith. In Jesus' name, amen.